How do you handle anger in a marriage? How do you deal with conflict? What do you do when somebody has a bad temper? How do you resolve conflict? Maybe a better way to ask it is, how can couples have a good fight? I hope you have a good fight. There are bad fights, we've seen those, but there are good fights, there are good ways to resolve issues and to resolve conflict.
There's no way to avoid conflict in marriage. So the question is, how will you deal with it? Give in to anger? Give up on your spouse? Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzig points out that couples can have a good fight. They just need to fight fair. After the teaching, Skip and his wife, Lenya, talk more about the rules of engagement when it comes to marital conflict.
You know, a lot of couples never fight till after they get married. Mm. And that's because everything before you say I do is voluntary. Everything after you say I do is
compulsory.
There is a box called a marriage relationship that confines you in a beautiful way. It was meant to be that way.
Next to your relationship with God, there's no greater investment than marriage. Find God's counsel, warnings, and wisdom on marriage with this month's Connection resource, Greg Laurie's book, Married Happily, along with the accompanying Bible study that helps you dig deeper, reflect on, and apply everything you learn. This resource is available for a limited time only. Here's all the info.
Are you struggling to find happiness in your marriage? A happy marriage takes a lot of work and a lot of surrendering to Christ on a daily basis. Thankfully, God has given us the perfect plan for marriage in His Word. Skip Heitzig explains.
God has given us His blueprint, and I will tell you, if you follow God's blueprint, you don't have to end up like one of those people who wonders why something that started so good could end so bad.
But the hard part comes in actually following the instructions God has provided. As this month's resource from The Connection, you'll receive Greg Laurie's book, Married Happily, and the accompanying study guide. This book will show you how husbands and wives can find oneness in their lives together and avoid common pitfalls along the way. The study guide expounds on the chapters in the book and can be used for individual or small group study. Order this package today for a donation of any amount at connectiononline.org or by calling 800-922-1888.
Now, open your Bible once again to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's join Skip for the start of today's study.
Many years ago, when I was young and single, and I lived in San Bernardino, California, going to college, I had an apartment, $99 a month. It's a long time ago. Furnished. This little apartment was situated in the way so that when my kitchen window was open, my neighbors, who were just a few feet away, their kitchen window was also, it was a mirror of my apartment. I was young and single. They were young and married. We could overhear kitchen conversations. There wasn't much going on in my house. But in their house, it was a very active conversation, almost nightly. And it wasn't always pleasant. I heard some arguments and some words that made me want to close my kitchen window. A few years later, I lived in an apartment in Santa Ana, California. It was the bottom apartment of a fourplex. There was a married couple, this time right above me. I heard more foot stomping, not because there was great music, and words coming out of the ceiling, and it's like the heavens were speaking to me, you know, every night. And the only reprieve for me was the beach. I could take my surfboard and hit down to the waves and enjoy the peace and the solace, or so I thought. You see, one day I was down there waxing my surfboard, ready to go out for a nice early morning surf, and there was a young married couple having an argument on the beach in each other's face. I'm thinking, really? And they were both locals. They were both vocal. Their volume both got louder and the insults got more sharp as the repartee went back and forth. Finally, the young husband pulled out what he thought would be the greatest insult to a local California beach wife. he turned to her and said, "You're a tourist." Her face flushed with redness. She seized in anger and she stormed off. It was like, that's it. That's like the ultimate thing you could call me. Experiences like that always would give me pause as a young single guy when it came to marriage, because I thought, I don't want to do that. I don't want any of that. And I would even sometimes wonder, how many married couples are fighting tonight? Now, as the years went on and I got into the ministry, I made another discovery. Not only do couples fight, Christian couples fight. Good Christian couples fight. Great, stellar Christian couples fight. Many years ago, when the wife of Billy Graham, Ruth, she's now in heaven, was interviewed about the ministry and about Billy and about their marriage, you know, interviewers always like to ask these tangential questions. So the interviewer said, "Have you ever considered divorce?" And she smiled and she said, "Divorce, no. Murder, yes." It was a classic moment. Every marriage relationship has sparks, has fireworks, has friction for two reasons. Number one, we're all human. We're all fallen. We're all sinful. And a marriage is one sinner who marries another sinner. There's a second reason. Not only are we all human, we're different. We did a whole study on the temperament differences between male and female. So just because we're human and because we are different, that is enough fodder to make for an interesting fireworks display in a relationship. William Shakespeare was right when he said, "The course of true love never did run smooth." But it's the unresolved conflict that becomes a problem. Anger and conflict that becomes unresolved will become eventually like a cancer that erodes and undermines the relationship. There will be conflict. There will be conflict in every relationship. You cannot have two strong-willed individuals flowing together without current. There's going to be some kind of movement. A few weeks ago, my wife and I were able to spend a few days with friends in Hawaii, and we were on the windward side of Oahu, right on Lanakai Beach. Right off the back porch, you could see two islands close by, the Mokuluas. And I would get up in the morning and get in a kayak, and I would paddle out to the Mokuluas, the islands out there, and paddle back. And one day, Lenya said, "I'd like to go along." So I put her in the front, and I was in the back, and we started paddling. And I said, "Now, I'm going to warn you, the closer we get to these islands, it's going to get rough, because there's two separate currents that flow between these islands. And when they meet, it's volatile. It'll be like Gilligan's Island for several hundred yards." And sure enough, when those currents came together, those two flows came together, got pretty exciting there. We even tipped the kayak once. So when you have two individuals flowing together that have their own ideas about life, there's going to be current. Of great concern to me is the issue of anger in a relationship. The short fuse over the long haul. That's unsustainable. So how do you handle anger in a marriage? How do you deal with conflict? What do you do when somebody has a bad temper? How do you resolve conflict? Maybe a better way to ask it is, how can couples have a good fight? I hope you have a good fight. There are bad fights, we've seen those, but there are good fights, there are good ways to resolve issues and to resolve conflict. Listen to this, Diane Solly from the Coalition for Marriage and Family, she shared an important truth. She noted that happy couples who stay married have the same number of conflicts as unhappy couples who get a divorce. She noted that what makes the difference is not the absence of conflict, but the ability or inability to manage the conflict. I've had you turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 25 and read down to verse 32, just a few verses. And I am well aware that the general context is about the Christian life, that we are not living the past life that we were redeemed from. We're in a new life, and that makes all things new. And it's general truths for all believers, but I apply it narrowly to the relationship here between husband and wife. It fits perfectly. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. As we read these verses today, and as you listen to the message that I bring from these verses, I'm going to ask you to not listen for anybody else. Boy, I wish she could hear this. I'm going to get this message for him. They need to hear that. It's always a temptation, is it not? But listen today for just you, and see what the Holy Spirit would say to your heart. Verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. After reading those verses, let me pull out for you four principles on conflict resolution. These are rules of engagement. When you're going to engage in a conflict with your spouse, there ought to be rules of engagement, just like in any battlefield, in any war. Four principles on how to have a good fight, a fair fight. Number one, be honest without lying. That's right out of verse 25. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Most every marriage counselor will tell you there are typically four, there may be more, but typically it boils down to four hot button issues that cause conflict in relationship. Money, sex, children, communication. Those four. Those are the hot buttons. A lot of conflict revolve around those four issues, and not necessarily in that order, but it's that last one, communication, that verse 25 is addressing. Honesty in communication is absolutely fundamental and essential in any relationship that is healthy, most especially in a marriage relationship. But sometimes it's absent in a marriage. Let me share something that's interesting. Do you realize that most fights happen after marriage, not before? Seldom will you find an engaged couple in a not out, dragged down kind of a fight, unless they're breaking up. Now, why is that? Why do most fights happen after marriage? A couple of reasons. Reason number one is everything before you say I do is voluntary, everything after you say I do is compulsory. The game has changed, the rules have changed. Just the virtue of the commitment, the covenant, the permanence of it all can sometimes bring out the worst in us. They say marriage brings out the best in a person. Sometimes it brings out the beast in the person. A second reason is that when couples date, they often act. They're not real. It's like campaigning. It's a good picture, isn't it? You're trying to sell, schmooze, spin. Put your best foot forward to seal the deal, to get that person to like you. And so, couples will often act like they like things that they really don't. And so he loves country music. She can't stand it. He buys tickets to the concert and asks her, would you like to go to the concert with me? And she says, love to. She wouldn't say that after they're married. I hate that stuff. Sorry for calling country music that stuff. For some of you, I know I just crossed the line. When we were first married, I invited Lenya to go camping with me when we first moved here. I love camping. Notice I use that in the past tense. We camped once. After that, we camped together no more. She wasn't into it. She did it because she knew I was into it, but it wasn't a pleasant experience for her. So, be honest without lying. Or as it says here, put away lying. And I think that includes, under the banner of lying, exaggeration. Have you ever noticed that we exaggerate when we argue? There are certain words we use, and I'm just going to recommend you put them away from your fighting vocabulary. Words are always and never. You know what I'm getting at? We say things like, you never tell me anything. That's an exaggeration. You always say that. We never go out anywhere. I've told you not to do that a million times. That's exaggeration. It's untrue and it's unhelpful. Those words are untrue and unhelpful. There's not someone who always does something, and it's untrue that someone never does something. When you use words like that, you lower your credibility. Because if those are the first words out of your mouth, you never, you always, your mate will tune you out instantly and believe less and less that you have to say. And they get very defensive, by the way, when that kind of language is used. Notice what it says at the very end of verse 25. It says, for, that's giving you a cause now, for we are members of one another. Now stop right there. You know what makes a Christian marriage different from all other married couples in the universe? This truth. We are members of the family of God. When a Christian husband takes on a Christian wife, he takes on more than a wife. He takes on a daughter of God. A member of the spiritual family, which puts a different dimension on the marriage, and I would say adds another level of responsibility. Speak the truth with one another. We are members of one another. If that is true generally for all believers, it is most true for a married couple. To look at that husband and say, you are a son of the living God. To look at that wife and say, you are a daughter of the living God, adds a whole new texture to the relationship. So be honest without lying. That's the first rule of engagement. The second principle, be angry without sinning. Verse 26, a very famous verse. Be angry and do not sin. Now I read that as a commandment. Do you? Be angry and do not sin. There was a lady, she went to a gun dealer, and she said, I want to buy a gun for my husband. And the gun dealer said, okay, great. What model of gun would your husband want? And she said, I don't know. He doesn't know I'm going to shoot him. Now the dealer understood what she meant. I want to buy a gun for my husband. Anger, or should I say unresolved anger, is one of the most deadly enemies in a relationship. It irritates and it poisons. Proverbs 29 says, an angry man stirs up dissension. What a picture. Dissension is there under the surface. This guy stirs it up. And a hot-tempered one commits many sins. One author that I read calls anger the noise of the soul. It's a good description. The noise of the soul. It's that thing that hangs back in your mind, that gets louder and louder and louder till pretty soon it's the only thing you can hear. Many couples have unresolved anger issues, but they don't want to deal with it, or they don't identify it. So they'll come and they'll want to dance around it, and they'll talk about this issue and this problem and that problem, and all of those are problems, but they really stem from and feed from the one problem of unresolved anger. The noise of the soul is just getting louder and louder and pouring out into all of these different issues in their marriage. Back to verse 26. Again, it sounds like a command, an imperative. Be angry and do not sin. Scholars will call this a permissive imperative. A permissive imperative. It's not like God is saying, thus saith the Lord, get ticked off. Blow your stack. Yell at somebody. He's giving permission. He's saying in certain cases, anger is permissible, but here's the warning. Don't let it lead to sin. That's the idea. Because sin always leads to what? Anybody? Death. Sin always results in death, the Bible says. The sin of anger always results in the death of something. Death of joy, death of peace, death of friendship, trust. A lot of things are decimated by the sin of anger. Be angry, but the warning, don't let it lead you into sin. Now, I think all of us know when anger gets to the level of sinful anger. We don't need to spell it out, but I'll offer some suggestions. Bursts of temper are sinful. Anger that leads to out-of-control rage is sinful. Anger that aims to hurt the other person or family members is sinful. Listen to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. Solomon writes, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Interesting. Great truth.
In the heat of the moment, words shouted at our spouse can pierce the soul, and that can be hard to come back from. Now let's head into the studio with Skip and Lenya as they share some thoughts about fighting fair.
Today we began to look at several rules of engagement, and that's not when you get the diamond.
That's right.
This is a different...
Not that engagement. Rules of engagement, i.e. warfare.
When it comes to conflict in marriage, namely that we should be honest and not lie when we're communicating. Skip, how can we do that, keeping in mind the higher standard and level of responsibility we have as Christians in our marriages?
You know, I've noted that in American culture, dating is like campaigning. You know, you're trying to sell yourself.
That's right.
And you put the best foot forward. And of course, you want to do that. I mean, you want there to be a level of attraction. But, you know, a lot of couples never fight till after they get married.
Mm.
And that's because everything before you say I do is voluntary. Everything after you say I do is
compulsory.
There is a box called a marriage relationship that confines you in a beautiful way. It was meant to be that way. So a lot of couples, they just sort of wake up to the rude reality of we don't get along on this issue. And we might expect the spouse, our spouse that we've married, to roll over and just see it our way. So there have to be rules for engagement. And I'll just boil it down to two things that I found helpful. Express your position, but suppress exaggeration. Express honest feelings. This is how I honestly feel and I honestly see it. But then suppress, avoid, exaggerate. Don't use words like always and never. You always say that. You never do that. Those aren't helpful terms to categorically dismiss someone with. That's belittling language. And it's just frankly not true. Also, we've talked about this before, the messaging of the words is important.
Mm.
If I say, you this and you that and you're that.
It's when you do this, it really ticks me off.
Right, but if you do I messages, I feel this way when I hear those words.
Mm-hmm.
Then the focus is on me rather than you, and the you hear it differently, and it's less of an attack.
Yeah. The other thing is when we have conflict, we've talked about this, that you know sometimes just go to a public place like a restaurant if it's a hot topic.
That's true.
And because in the restaurant, either one can't throw a tantrum, another one can't leave, or whatever, you know, some of your unhealthy ways of communicating, in public you kind of got to straighten up and fly right.
That's right, because people next to you could hear. So you have to choose words and tone. And I remember doing that when we were first married. We made that an agreement.
It's a nice accountability.
We often hear reports of changed lives and growing believers. One Connection listener said, "The Connection has been my daily breakfast spiritually." If the teachings of Skip Heitzig have encouraged you, would you consider becoming a financial partner of The Connection? Simply visit connectiononline.org/give or call 800-922-1888 to make a one-time or regular monthly gift. By doing so, you're helping to take these teachings around the world.
Tomorrow on The Connection, Skip Heitzig shares more about dealing with conflict in marriage.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection. Connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.